Welcome once again. Happy Sabbath to each one gathered here, those on the phone or listening to the recording. I'm glad to be with you in fellowship once again and praise God for his merciful kindness and tender love throughout this past week for each one of us. Got a very important sermon to get into, so let's go right into our service. And our opening song is We Speak of the Realms. Very wonderful hymn. We speak of the realms of the blessed, that country so bright and so fair, and oft are its glories confessed, but what must it be to be there? We speak of its pathway of gold, its walls decked with jewels so rare, its wonders and pleasures untold, but what must it be to be there?
We speak of its freedom of sin, from sorrow, temptation, and care, from trials without and within, but what must it be to be there? We speak of its service of love, of the robes which glorify wear, of the church of the firstborn above, but what must it be like, what must it be to be there?
Our mourning is all at an end when raised by the life-giving word. We see the new city descend, adorned as a bride for her Lord. The city so holy and clean, no sorrow can breathe in the air. No gloom of affliction or sin, no shadow of evil is there.
Do thou miss temptation and woe, for heaven myself prepare, and shortly I also shall know and feel what it is to be there. Then o'er the bright fields we shall roam in glory celestial and fair, with saints and with angels at home, and our three gods will be there.
Amen. What will it be like to be in heaven, dear ones? But there's things we must do first before we will ever see that blessed paradise. And we're going to be going through some of those things in our sermon. But first it's time for opening prayer, and please join with me. Blessed Father, we praise thy holy name for making it possible through Jesus that we can have heaven as our home. The devil has done and is doing everything that he possibly can to thwart your purpose of salvation for sinners. And I pray that you will open our understanding through thy Spirit to see this battle between good and evil, light and darkness, truth and error more clearly today, and how it affects us personally. We pray, dear Spirit, that you will open our understanding, that you will convict us, convert us, reprove and correct us, so that we may clearly see the truth, recognize what is error, and choose which path we want to take, and give us the courage and the grace and the strength to choose the upward path and to follow our Savior step by step to eternal life. We desire heaven as our home, not just to escape the darkness and the sin and disease and evil of this world, but to be with our Savior and our God forevermore, as well as the rest of the redeemed. Heaven with Jesus is everything. Heaven without Jesus is nothing. So help us to develop our relationship here in this world of sin and woe with Jesus, that we may continue to dwell with him in a world without sin and woe forevermore. For this we ask your help, and thank you for being here and aiding us to understand. Dear Savior, thank you for delivering us from death, from sin, from sorrow, and granting us the promise of eternal life with you if we're faithful to the end. Thank you also for being our great physician and healer. I pray that you'll be with those that are ill, that are sick, that may be sorrowing or depressed, may be downtrodden, may be full of doubt. And please heal them, deliver them from all of these things according to thy perfect will and perfect timing. And until the perfect timing arrives, strengthen them, encourage them to endure and to hold fast and not give up. To trust in your love and to rest there. And thank you so much for doing so. Be with those who have lost loved ones, and please send your Spirit to comfort them, encourage them, and also to lead them to look up to Jesus for life after death. And thank you for doing so. So we thank you, dear Godhead, for hearing and answering this prayer and for being with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, happy Sabbath, dear ones. And the title of the sermon for today is Sin No More. And when you ask people about sin, you'll get many different responses, many different answers as to what sin is or how to overcome it or if it's even possible to overcome. And most Christians believe that when you are born a sinner. In other words, full of sin. and that you will continue to sin until you die. So in other words, it's not possible to overcome sin. And coupled with this particular belief is that Jesus Christ will not only forgive you all of your past sins, but he will also forgive you your present sinning and any future sins which you might commit. But this particular belief does not agree with Scripture. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID39.htm. So lightministries.com/ID39.htm. If you look at quote number one, Scripture tells us in Matthew 1:21, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And in John 8:11, Jesus said unto her, Mary Magdalene, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Since we know that Jesus is the truth and that Jesus does not lie, then we've learned from these two verses that he will save his people from, not in their sins. And so it must also be possible to go and sin no more. But if we deny this truth that we can sin no more after we have found Jesus and he has forgiven us and made us whole, and we choose instead to continue on sinning, then we will not be saved, but we will be lost. And if you look at quote number two, in John 5:14 we're told, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." So after Christ has made us whole, forgiven our sins, cleansed us, then we're to go and sin no more. And if we continue on sinning past that point, then something worse is going to come to us. And in Hebrews 10, verses 26 to 29, we get somewhat of an idea of what is worse. We're told, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Now, I don't believe that any of us desire to be lost and to end up burning in the lake of fire. So then, is it really possible to resist all temptations and to sin no more, as Christ stated? Well, let's see. If you look at quote number three, in Romans 6, verses 1 to 3, verse 7, and verse 11 to 14. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? For he that is dead is freed from sin. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. So after Christ has made us whole, is it possible for us to no longer continue in sin? And God's word says yes. In Maranatha, page 225. The strongest temptation is no excuse for sin. However great the pressure brought to bear upon the soul, transgression is our own act. It is not in the power of earth or hell to compel anyone to sin. The will must consent. The heart must yield. Or passion cannot overbear reason, nor iniquity triumph over righteousness. Now, these are some very powerful statements, dear ones. To think that all the power of hell, every evil angel and even the devil himself, can be brought against us to try and force us to sin, and yet they would all fail if we would not yield to them. The only way that the powers of hell can triumph over us is if we give in to this pressure, if we yield our will to Satan and commit sin. That's the only way that they can triumph. We must give them permission. So this means that the devil is really only as powerful over us as we allow him to be. You know, many tend to make the devil more powerful than he really is. But he can only have power over us when we give him permission to. And if we really understand this fact of truth, then who's responsible for sin? The devil originated it. But it is only as we choose to sin that sin continues on in our life as well as in this world. So this means that we cannot blame any circumstance. We cannot blame any event or situation or heritage or parental rearing or any other person or even the devil himself for the reason why we chose to sin, because sin is only by our choice. But what many do not fully realize is that when we commit sin, it's not just we ourselves who suffer in consequence. If you look at quote number 4, in Testimonies, volume 2, page 133, every act of our lives, including sin, affects others for good or evil. So everything we do has an effect on others, either for good or bad. Also in Testimonies, volume 3, page 356 to 357. Many by their actions have said, whatever we do, we are to bear the consequences ourselves. Dear friends, you are greatly mistaken. You are not the only sufferers from a wrong course. The society you are in bears the consequences of your wrongs in a great degree as well as yourselves. It is impossible for you to pursue any wrong course without causing others to suffer. So it's impossible for you to choose to sin and not affect others by that course. Amen. It's like a ripple effect. You cast a stone into the stream, the stone just doesn't cause a commotion in its own area where it enters the stream, but it causes ripples that go all the way across the pond, affecting the entire shoreline, the entire body of water, depending on the size of the stone, but it has an effect on everyone around it. It's the same with us. If we choose to sin, everyone around us is going to suffer. But it's not just other human beings who will suffer in consequence if we choose to sin, but someone else will suffer as well. You look at quote number 5. In Desire of Ages, page 300. By every sin, Jesus is wounded afresh. And as we look upon him whom we have pierced, we mourn for the sins that have brought anguish upon him. Such mourning will lead to the renunciation of sin. So every time we sin, we wound Jesus. So he suffers as well because of our sins. But how do we wound Jesus? In the book, Our High Calling, on page 11. Infinite love has cast up a pathway upon which the ransomed of the Lord may pass from earth to heaven. That path is the Son of God. Angel guides are sent to direct our erring feet. Heaven's glorious ladder is let down in every man's path, barring his way to vice and folly. He must trample upon a crucified Redeemer ere he can pass onward to a life of sin. Everyone is permitted to choose for himself the narrow, shining steep that leads to heaven, or that broader and easier way which ends in death. So this inspired passage shows us that before we can commit sin, we must first knock down and trample over our Savior, who's lovingly blocking our way to that broad road which leads to destruction. So Jesus stands in our way so that we won't commit sin. And if we choose to sin, we have to knock him down and walk over the top of him. And thus we wound him afresh. But it's even worse than this. Did you know that not only do we personally wound Christ when we sin, but we also allow someone else to hurt Christ? If you look at quote number 6. In Testimonies, Volume 5, page 472. It is a thought that should arouse Christians to greater zeal and earnestness in overcoming evil. that every defect in character, every point in which they fail to meet the divine standard, is an open door by which Satan can enter to tempt and destroy them, and furthermore, that every failure and defect on their part gives occasion to the tempter and his agents to reproach Christ. Now, I don't believe any of us wish our Savior to be reproached by the devil and his agents, or trampled down and wounded by us because of our failure to keep sin out of our lives. And yet, when we choose to sin, this is exactly what occurs. Not only do we knock down and trample over and wound our Savior afresh when we sin, but we allow the devil and his evil angels to reproach Christ as well. And may our loving Savior forgive us for all the pain and suffering that we have caused him. And may he aid us not to cause him any more pain and suffering. So then, dear ones, how can we overcome all temptation? How can we no longer choose to sin? How can we stop hurting our Savior and prevent Satan from reproaching him on our account? How is it possible to sin no more? If you look at quote number 7, in Bible Commentary, Volume 2, page 1008. There is a mighty power in prayer. Our great adversary is constantly seeking to keep the troubled soul away from God. An appeal to heaven by the humblest saint is more to be dreaded by Satan than the decrees of cabinets or the mandates of kings. Prayer is more dreaded by the devil than the decrees of kings. In Sons and Daughters of God, page 191. If you are not experienced in discerning the devices of Satan, your only safety is in prayer. So prayer, you know, something so simple to perform that even the humblest and most inexperienced follower of God can use it in combating sin. And yet prayer is so powerful that even the weakest believer in the truth can utilize it successfully against temptation. Even a child darting a prayer to God for help, Satan fears. But there's no power at all in prayer. Prayer itself cannot save anyone from the power of temptation. The power to overcome all sin is not found in the prayer itself. The power is found in the one whom we direct our prayers to. And without this realization that only in Christ can the strength be found to overcome temptation, then our prayers are actually useless. They're just like a hollow form against the power of the devil. It's only as we realize our weakness and we then flee to our loving and strong Savior, pleading with him to grant us the power to overcome the strong foe through prayer, that Satan can be defeated. So prayer is important. But prayer to Jesus brings success. In Testimonies, Volume 1, page 341 and 346. Satan knows better than God's people the power that they can have over him when their strength is in Christ. When they humbly entreat the mighty conqueror for help, the weakest believer in the truth, relying firmly upon Christ, can successfully repulse Satan and all his host. Satan cannot endure to have his powerful rival appealed to, for he fears and trembles before his strength and majesty. At the sound of fervent prayer, Satan's whole host trembles. So why does Satan and his entire host of evil angels tremble when we fervently pray directly to Christ for help? We're told in Testimonies, Volume 1, page 295. Satan is enraged at the sound of fervent prayer, for he knows that he will suffer loss. In other words, sin will not be given into, and the devil is defeated. He's lost that battle. So then when we are tempted and we recognize that we are weak and we cannot resist on our own, and we send up our prayers to Christ, pleading with him to grant us his divine strength to overcome, then what are we to do? After we've prayed, what are we to do? In Testimonies, Volume 1, page 296. The prayer of faith is the great strength of the Christian and will assuredly prevail against Satan. So this means that after we have prayed, we must believe, have faith that Jesus has heard our prayers. We must believe and have faith that he has granted us all the divine strength necessary to overcome. And after having this faith that Jesus has heard our prayers and granted us the strength, then what are we to do? Will God overcome for us? The answer is no. He's heard our prayers. He's given us divine grace and strength to overcome, but he will not overcome for us. We must overcome by grabbing hold of his strength. If you look at quote number 8, in James 4, verses 7 to 8, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So we have something to do. We must submit our wills to God, not to do our own pleasure, but his pleasure, and then we must resist. God's given us the grace and the strength so that we can use it to resist. In Bible Commentary, Volume 3, page 1155, when the first suggestion of wrong is heard, dart a prayer to heaven, and then firmly resist the temptation to tamper with the principles condemned in God's word. So these inspired passages reveal to us that after praying and exercising faith, We must show God that we are serious about overcoming sin and submit our wills to God, and then resolutely resist the temptation and the devil. And this is before we will gain the victory. So God doesn't overcome for us. He aids us in overcoming. So in this way, our prayer actually becomes a prayer of faith in the power and grace of God through Christ in us to overcome sin. By resisting the devil and his temptations, he must flee from us just as he had to flee from Christ. And as we take the first step in overcoming, we will also be cleansing our hands and purifying our hearts from sin. But not one of us will obtain the grace and power from God necessary to overcome sin until we show him that we are serious about overcoming and put forth the earnest efforts to resist the temptation. If you look at quote number 9. In My Life Today, page 100. There is but one power that can bring us into conformity to the likeness of Christ, that can make us steadfast and keep us constant. It is the grace of God that comes to us through obedience to the law of God. So this means that after we recognize the temptation and we recognize that we are weak and then we pray to God for help to overcome, we must then put forth the efforts needed to resist the temptation. And as we do this, then God recognizes our sincerity and he sends us the grace and power through Christ, which will work in us until we have gained the victory together. Without Christ, we can't overcome anything. Christ won't overcome anything without us. But together, we can. So this shows us that it is God through Christ who is working in us to keep his commandments and overcome sin. And in being thus united with Christ in God, we have the divine power to gain the victory and to sin no more. We're told in Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's a cooperation. It's a union. God and you working out your salvation. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Can't do it without Christ. Christ won't do it for you. Together, you can do all things. Overcome all sin. Go and sin no more. So then we've learned that there are four key steps in overcoming all sin. And these four key steps are, number one, recognize the temptation and humbly admit that you are weak. The second is pray to God for grace and strength to overcome. The third is submit your will unto God. And the fourth is resist the temptation by putting forth efforts to do God's will. So the four key steps are recognize, pray, submit, resist, RPSR. Recognize that you're weak. Pray to God for help. Submit your will to God and then resist the temptation. But without prayer, there is no possible way that you could overcome sin. Prayer connects you to God and brings His aid to help. So if you don't pray to God, there's no way that you're going to have His help. And that's why Satan hates prayer so much. And that's why he's doing everything that he can to try and keep you and me from praying when we need God's help, especially when we're being tempted. So prayer is the only channel we have to communicate directly to Christ and God in every time of need. Prayer is the only thing that's going to bring God's aid to help us gain the victory. And so prayer is like the necessary breath of life to the Christian. Without prayer, it's like not breathing. There's no way you can live. So prayer is like the breath of life to our Christian experience. If you look at quote number 10 in Gospel Workers, page 254 and 255, prayer is the breath of the soul. It is the secret of spiritual power. No other means of grace can be substituted and the health of the soul preserved. Prayer brings the heart into immediate contact with the wellspring of life, or in other words, Jesus, and strengthens the sinew and muscle of the religious experience. So as sinful and unworthy as we are, we've been given the distinct honor and privilege of prayer, talking directly to the King of the entire universe. And there's no other royal who will allow every subject in their kingdom to approach them with their petitions and requests at any given time. You have to make an appointment if you can even get through. But it is out of love for unworthy you and me that our Savior has opened the way that we can come before the King of the universe and present our fervent requests before the Father at any time. And we can even come and talk to God our Father through Christ, even if we don't have a petition, if we just want to spend time with Him. The door is always open. And the Father, out of love for us, in Christ, is willing to hear and answer our requests or even just to talk with us, all according to His perfect will, timing, and love. In Hebrews 4, verses 15 to 16, if you look at quote number 11, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need." And how we come boldly to the throne of grace is to pray at any time we need to. But what love is this, dear ones? Love provided all of this for you and me. And yet many have come to look upon prayer as being a drudge or something that's really not necessary for salvation. But prayer is vital for our spiritual life, as well as a victorious warfare against every temptation and sin. And especially is prayer needed on the Sabbath day. If you look at quote number 12, and please pay close attention to this amazing promise. In Desire of Ages, page 207. The demands upon God are even greater upon the Sabbath than upon other days. His people then leave their usual employment and spend the time in meditation and worship. They ask more favors of him on the Sabbath than upon other days. They demand his special attention. They crave his choicest blessings. And then notice, God does not wait for the Sabbath to pass before he grants these requests. Amazing, isn't it? We're told that when we pray on the Sabbath, God promises to answer these prayers before the Sabbath hours are over. So if there's ever a time in the week to pray, it's on the Sabbath, dear ones. So with such precious promises as these, let us never forget that when we are faced with a temptation to commit sin, we need to pray to God for his strength to overcome and then firmly resist the devil. Let us also remember that either Satan will be bruised under our feet when we are an overcomer with Christ, or we will bruise Christ under our feet if we give into and commit sin. One or the other is going to be bruised under our feet. We choose who. So let us remember the four keys to successfully overcome all sin and bruise Satan under our feet and no longer Christ. And these four keys were again, recognize, pray, submit, resist, RPSR. And in following these four keys, we will escape sin through our Savior's divine power to the glory of God. If you look at quote 13 from 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let us go and sin no more. Praise God for the plan of salvation and for making it possible for us to be set free from continuing to sin. And it's all possible through Jesus Christ. Our closing song is Take the World, But Give Me Jesus. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever through eternal years the same. Oh, the height and depth of mercy. Oh, the length and breadth of love. Oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above.
Take the world, but give me Jesus, sweetest comfort of my soul. With my Savior watching o'er me, I can sing though billows roll. Oh, the height and depth of mercy. Oh, the length and breadth of love. Oh, the fullness of redemption. Pledge of endless life above.
Take the world, but give me Jesus. Let me view his constant smile. Then throughout my pilgrim journey, light will cheer me all the while. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above.
Take the world, but give me Jesus. In his love my trust shall be. Tell with clearer, brighter vision, face to face, my Lord I see. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, bliss of endless life above.
Amen. And what a wonderful Savior we have, dear ones, to make it all possible for us to be free from our past sins and from sinning. All so that we could have salvation. Thank you, dear Savior, and praise your holy name for making it all possible. Take the world, take all sin, but let us have Jesus. It's time for closing prayer, and would a brother or sister like to offer that for us? Please go right ahead.
Thank you, dear Father, for the Sabbath day. Thank you for beautiful songs which were written to praise your name. And thank you for voices to sing those praises. Thank you also for answering prayers on Sabbath day and for spending this time with us. We pray that you will watch over us this coming week, be especially with those who are sick and need your help. Forgive us where we have sinned and help us to dart a prayer to you whenever we feel tempted. Be with us now as we spend the rest of the Sabbath. Maybe some of us will be in your beautiful nature. Others, studying scriptures, whatever we're doing, let us all do to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Anna, thank you, dear sister. And for those that would like to have a little bit more material to study on this very important topic, we've put together a list of simple and practical ways that you can overcome. And you can find this study on our website at lightministries.com/HC for home church, /overcome-temptations-list. And overcome and temptations are both capitalized in the first letter. So capital O and then vercome dash capital T and then temptations dash list. And you'll be able to find that there. So are there any other thoughts, comments, questions, anything else that you would like to share, dear ones? Testimonies? Please feel free.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. I just would like to share a message, actually a letter that I received from one of my patients. It said, Dr. Bisana, I really appreciate you sharing your faith with me last time. I only own one Bible since the rest were lost in the fire. And it is this one. Because you happened to mention Ellen White was inspirational, I thought this would be something you might enjoy. God bless. And this is from a 75-year-old man. And that made my heart full. Just want to share that in any way, in whatever circumstance, we can really like share our faith. And I hope that would glorify God furthermore. Amen.
Amen. And praise the Lord, dear sister. And we'll be keeping that individual in our prayers that they will indeed be interested and curious and benefited by reading the scriptures and also Sister White. So wonderful, dear sister. And praise God that every one of us have been called to share our faith. And it may just be a smile that we give someone or a helping hand. We may not even be able to talk with them or to share with them our faith, but we can live our faith, and that will also benefit them. So praise the Lord. Are there any other thoughts or testimonies, comments, questions, songs that you'd like to bring forth? Please feel free.
Happy Sabbath, everyone, brothers and sisters. I'm just so grateful with the study this morning explaining about the desire of ages, because sometimes I had it in my life, experience in my life. Sometimes, you know, prayers are not answered. So it just gives me more strength in my faith. Thank you.
Well, praise the Lord, dear sister. And God knows exactly what each one of us needs in these very last days of Earth's history. And that is one reason why he provided us the spirit of prophecy, the writings of Sister White, to encourage us and to build our faith and hope and courage in Christ Jesus, and to open our understanding to the scriptures in a greater way than we might otherwise have understood. And when I came across that statement in Desire of Ages, page 207, it was just astounding to me. But it also revealed the love of God. The Sabbath is indeed the best day of the week. There's no doubt about it. You can pray to God every day and he will hear and answer prayers in his perfect timing. But on the Sabbath, he promises to answer them that very day. Now, it may not be the answer that we want. It may be an answer that is recognized a day, a week, a month, perhaps a year or more after, but we have the assurance that he has heard and answered our prayer that very day. Yeah, amen. Sabbath is a happy day. I love every Sabbath. Amen. Yeah, amen, amen. Another comment, it says, the Sabbath feels special, even the very air we breathe on that day. So, amen. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
I remember spending Sabbath with the family. The kids were growing up, and we always had a lot of kids going with us. Some of them would remark they didn't like Sabbath very much because their mom and dad rested. In other words, they went and took a nap and the kids were all full of energy and they got bored. So we made it a point to do whatever we could to show God's creation, either going to the ocean, going to the mountains, and we lived in California, so the ocean and the mountains were pretty close. We could even go to the desert. We could do all of those things in a day. And I remember one Sabbath being down by the ocean side and looking up at the mountains, which were probably 50 miles away. You could see snow, and I said, no place like California, even with its earthquakes. It just was a wonderland of God's creation if you went out of the city to find it.
Amen. And those were some fun times too. And thank you. Any other thoughts, testimonies, comments, dear ones, please feel free.
I have a comment. Maybe there are people that are going to be able to relate. When holidays used to happen in third world country, especially when the ending of the year and the Christmas, people used to paint their houses and buy new furniture, new curtains, and you could smell the newness of everything. Everything was just new because they had to do things then for New Year's and their Christmas and things. When I became a Christian and there was a lot of things that I started to learn and things them that I had to remove. Sabbath now is like those things to me, because we have to clean the house. Everything smells new. The foods are prepared where some family members, how I got them to, it was through the food. Because they used to say, Sabbath food is the best food, but if they only know that mostly everything that was cooked is things that you will tell them in the week and they don't want to eat. But on the Sabbath, you used to incorporate, so people found out what quinoa was, some different things that you actually cook, and sometimes they will say, oh, but you know the recipe. I will go, that's what Sabbath is all about. All the new things and all the things then that you can be able to enjoy. And that to me is the best celebration, because number one, you get to see family that you haven't seen for a long time. You are able to be able to partake in the way how you couldn't do it in a week. You can be able to go walking, which you don't have no time to do according to them. Sometimes it's so hard because of their job. So you get to even talk to your family a little longer because they stay. Some of them stay over after Sabbath. So to me, Sabbath is not only a time for bringing all things to the Lord, but sometimes even difficult things that could not be brought about in other days. On the Sabbath, it makes it more easier because the heart is a little bit more receptive. And I can continue on with how many different things you can do on the Sabbath that the Lord bless us with. But one of the best things that I like about it is that it brings back that memory when everything has to be clean and everything is put back in order. And then you can really relax and enjoy that communion with God, because you don't have to be called every 5 minutes to do something or anything like that. You have the time to sit down with the Lord on a one-on-one basis. I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Comment in the room. Rest, relaxation, refreshing, and recharging takes place on the Sabbath. And, you know, science, I've shared this before. Science has proven that there's a cycle that the cells in our body follow. There's a daily cycle, the circadian rhythm. And they've also discovered that there's a 7-day cycle. So not just a 24-hour cycle, but a 7-day cycle. And so they were curious about this 7-day cycle, that the cells kind of rejuvenate and refresh themselves every 7 days and not just every 1 day. So they started exploring, since it's a 7-day cycle, is there any difference between the various days of the week? Or is every day the same? It's just a 7-day cycle, no matter when it occurs. And so they set out with their instruments and equipment and so on to determine, and, you know, also question and answer exams to determine how people felt on different days of the week. And they discovered that Sunday through Friday, every day is about the same. But on Saturday, the 7th day, there was a great difference between the other days of the week, which is just amazing. So every Sabbath day, the cells in our body are rejuvenated and refreshed and reborn, if you want to look at it that way. But if we work on that day or we exercise on that day, then that benefit is to a degree or great degree lost. So So now you can understand that when God said the Sabbath is a day of rest, you're to rest on the Sabbath from all your work, from all your business, from all your cares. It was not just to rest in a spiritual way. It was also to rest in a physical way. The very cells of your body are rejuvenated every Sabbath. They're restored. So not just your spiritual life, even your physical life, down to every cell looks forward to every Sabbath to spend with God, with others of like faith, and to rest. That was quite astounding to me. Are there any other thoughts or comments, questions, testimonies, songs? Oh, he hideth my soul. I'll bring it here in the room.
Before I sing the hymn, Elder Rao, can you please let me know where did we left off on the youth study? Saco Market, please.
It's a third of the way down on page 796 to the paragraph that starts out strange.
Okay, thank you. Oh, wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. Oh, wonderful Savior to me. He hided my soul in the cliff of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hided my soul in the cliff of the rock, that shadows of a dry, thirsty land. He hided my life in the depth of his love and covered me there with his hands. And covered me there with his hands. If anybody would like to share, I will bubble down.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand.
With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture of glory to God for such a redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cliff of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
wind clothed in his brightness transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. Amen. What a Savior.
Before we sing this song, I would like to share something, a praise, that we experienced this week. Since we came back to driving again, this last Wednesday, actually, we went to Ohio, Kentucky, to deliver a load. And our next load is like more than 100 miles to the pickup. And we were close to the pickup, to the shipper, and I received a message signal in my Qualcomm that usually when there's a message, they will just put number one right there. And finally, because I cannot call them while I'm driving, they finally sent me another message that your load is canceled. Now, we were only like maybe 50 miles or 10 miles away from the shipper, and we drove more than 100 miles, and the load was canceled. And so I pulled to the side, and I said, what's going on? Why it was canceled? Well, the shipper actually canceled the load. So I said, well, okay, I guess I have to find another one. Now, that load actually is going back to Texas that we can go home, but it will be delivered on Friday, which I don't know, you know, whether what time on Friday that we're going to make it. But I was actually trying to figure it out that we can make it actually, you know, we will have enough time to go back home before the sunset. But it was canceled, and we accepted it. You know, and we just said that this is a trial. You know, we don't understand the circumstances, but we just have to accept it. But they give me, I told them, is there something that we can get? Because we're already close by. And they said, we'll give you something. Don't worry about it. So anyway, we were looking for another load. And the load, we have to drive again more than 100 miles just to pick up this load. Now, this load, again, is going back to Texas that we can go home. We would like to come home. Our decision is to come home every week if we can, because the other week, actually, we had a trial that we left our car in the truck stop thinking that we could go back. We could come back within a week. We never asked the truck stop if we can leave a car, but we just thought that they won't mind if we can just park our car, because we've been doing it like almost every week and nothing happened in the car. But that week, actually, our vehicle, when we arrived at the truck stop, our car was towed and we cannot find it. So, but anyway, we talked to the manager, and the manager said, well, we just towed it right now. We didn't know who owns it, and we thought maybe it was just an abandoned vehicle. But next time, if you let me know, I mean, we could save the vehicle, you know. So I said, praise the Lord that, you know, we can actually leave a vehicle in the truck stop. And we asked them where was it towed, and she gave us the phone number, and so we were able to pick it up. It's just a mile away from the truck stop, and even though it cost us, but it was good. We were able to redeem it and drive home. But this time from Ohio, we went to Indiana just to pick up another load to let us come home. But as soon as we arrived there to the shipper, because that load's supposed to be ready early so that we still have like 5 hours, I think, to drive that day. And then when we arrived there, the shipping department said, your load is not ready. I said, Lord, I don't know. We don't know what's going on, but we just have to wait and let the circumstance, the answer comes. And, cause we don't know why it's happening 2 times already. One was canceled. This time was late. And, they said that the load will be ready. Just call this number if you want to find out. And finally we call another 2 hours. They said that your load is not ready yet. You just have to call midnight. And so I said, well, Thursday already. And then the load is to be delivered on Friday. So I was worried that we might not be able to make it on Friday, but this is the only load that we can come home. So anyway, we were just waiting patiently. And, finally in the morning, it was already like 9 o'clock. And the shipping department said that, why don't you come in within an hour and your load will be ready. I did not call the dispatch because I don't want to lose this load. This is the load that will take us home. So anyway, we picked the load. It was already 10 o'clock. We drove. Before we drive, actually, I called my dispatcher and I said, I'm supposed to pick up this load yesterday so that I can make it on Friday. But because I was delayed and I don't think I can make it, the delivery time. So just give me time to be able to, deliver this load. They said, what time do you think you can deliver it? Can you deliver it on Saturday? I said, I don't think so, I have the load with me already. And I said, I don't think so. I'm trying to reset my time. As a driver, actually, you're only allowed to drive 70 hours a week. And my hours, I only have like 16 hours from Indiana back to Oklahoma. And so I said, I am not able to do that. I have to reset my time. And so the dispatcher actually, some dispatchers doesn't understand the situation. Some, they want you to deliver it, as quick as you can. But I'm thankful there was one dispatcher that understand my need because she knew that I don't work on the Sabbath, And so when I was calling the dispatcher again, she was the one who answered the phone. And she told me, oh, don't worry about it. We will reschedule it. What day do you want to deliver this load? And she said, Sunday only is the only day I can deliver this because, tomorrow is Saturday, And so she said, no, don't worry about it. We will reschedule it. And Sunday, and what time on Sunday? And I gave them the time. So I want to thank the Lord. The reason why was canceled and this one was delayed is because God has a perfect time. I will have more time to prepare for the Sabbath. And I was happy to the Lord that even though I did not understand the circumstance, the reason why it was delayed, because he knew that it's not probably good for me. And he wanted me to deliver this load that we are not being pressured, So praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord indeed. If we honor him, he will honor us.
I've been in similar situations. I had an understanding dispatcher too, and they made arrangements so that we could keep our Sabbath, because they knew that on the other 6 days, we would drive like Jehu to get their loads delivered.
Yeah, Jehu was quite a a fast driver. Amen. Well, there was a request for just when I need them. Just when I need him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need him most.
Just when I need him, Jesus is true. Never forsaking all the way through, giving for burdens, pleasures anew. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need him most. Just when I need him, Jesus is strong, bearing my burdens all the day long, for all my sorrow, giving a song, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need him most.
Just when I need him, he is my all, answering when upon him I call. Tenderly watching, lest I should fall. Just when I need him most. Just when I need him most. Just when I need him most. Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need him more.
Amen. And what a Savior we have at any time. Dear ones, are there any last thoughts that you would like to share before we have our dear brother sing us away? Please go right ahead. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer watch waters roll. While the tempest still is high, hide me o'er my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide. Oh, receive my soul at last.
Other refuge have I none, hands my helpless soul on thee. Leave, oh, leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed, all my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wings.
Thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness, vile and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace.
Plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within. I think y'all change it a little bit here because I don't know. Thou art like the fountain of, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart, rise to all eternity.
What a Savior Jesus is. It's been a wonderful Sabbath day. Thank you so much for your fellowship and participation. Looking forward to the next time we're able to come together from different parts of the world and to praise Him from whom all blessings flow. Until we meet again, dear ones, go with God. Have a wonderful remaining Sabbath rest and new week. And remember, keep looking up.
Life has its joys and sorrows too. Sometimes the mist will cloud our view. If we would hope and strength renew, there's just one thing to do. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.